south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
All right, got a lot of stuff to go over today. Let's get started with some very interesting emails. By the way, there is an epilogue to that Expat Eddie polygraph, you know, in-house gringo theft story with three suspects. Do let me know if you want to hear the ending to that story. It's not that long, but I think maybe I spent a little too much time telling that story, and maybe I bored some of you, and you changed the channel. I don't know, because I didn't get much feedback on it. Anyway, there's a very interesting epilogue. If you want to hear the end, give me a shout-out, because there are lessons to be learned for gringos and expats, because things like that could happen to you. So anyway, our first email comes from Murad, and there's lots of lessons for gringos and expats to be learned on this one, too, so pay attention. Oh, and as always, when I read these emails, I paraphrase and edit a bit, often leaving out stuff that doesn't address or pertain to the things we talk about on the Expat Files. In other words, if you digress way too much, digress more than I do, or you get way too specific, it might not make the cut. Like, for example, where's the best place to get leather goods in Antigua, Guatemala? That's way too specific for the audience. You know, that's a personal mission, a particular objective on just one person's bucket list. But a little aside here, by coincidence, I just mentioned leather goods, right? You listeners might remember a couple of shows ago when we were talking about business ideas for gringos and expats here in Latin America. I've mentioned that every time I go to Lake Atitlan, I pass this little shop where they sell those fantastic leather belts with the hidden zipper. I've got about five of them in various different styles and colors myself. I'm never without one. I wear it all the time. I can easily pack $1,000, even $2,000 in the zipper, along with more than a few 1 ounce gold coins, if that's what you're into. And the extra dimension of width is still not noticeable to the eye, or average slug or no good nick. Anyway, every time I walk past that shop, I can't help but notice those belts aren't even displayed very nicely at all. And unless you inspect the rack yourself, you won't even know that some of them, a small portion of them, have zippers. It's just a plain leather shop with all kinds of leather goods on display, not specific to belts at all. But everything's handmade locally with the best leather. Great craftsmanship, too. Basically, it's just a leather goods shop. You know, purses, sandals, shoes, leather hats, and regular belts. In fact, the regular leather belts, without the zipper, that is, are 90% of what he's got on display, with just a small, little unobtrusive section of zipper belts. Anyway, every time I walk past this place, and I've been doing so for 20-something years now, I keep thinking, why hasn't some gringo expat making a deal with this guy, the owner? Then put up a nice website and sell these things to everyone all over the world. Well, guess what? Apparently someone did. Listen to this email from Ruth. And she says, incidentally, Johnny, quite by accident, I found the leather money belts you mentioned before at Lake Atitlan in Guatemala. I found the belts on ETSY website. It looks as if someone took your idea and ran with it. Maybe you know the owner. Have a look at the photo of the business and their staff on that website. By the way, Johnny, ETSY is a marketplace where people around the world connect and buy and sell unique goods. So, Ruth, thanks for the email and thanks for the heads up on that website. Well, here's my take on it, Ruth. I looked at the website. I don't recognize the gringo who put it together, but he certainly doesn't know anything about marketing. He's got all kinds of different leather goods on that site. And he only shows one picture of a belt and it's all coiled up. You can't even see the zipper. And there are many different styles and colors available, tooled and untooled. Yet he only shows one. Just one, all curled up. It's very apparent he does not know the value of those zipper belts. He's got purses and all kinds of the usual suspect leather goods people sell. And as you know, there's huge competition in the handbag field. And the gringo guy, whoever has this website, he's missing a huge opportunity because these belts are one of a kind. Yet he's got no explanation or any details at all on that site. Now, if it was me, I'd make a website and partner up with some other security and personal travel item companies. Like, for example, Walkabout Travel. I'd contact the camping, hunting, sport, and outdoor companies too. Of course, I'd have my own website, but that would be the only product I'd be selling because there's no competition, you get it? Anyway, that's my take on it. I would have done things much differently. I would have contacted all kinds of security firms and places that sell passport pouches and things like that, you know. So, as far as I can see, Ruth, the opportunity's still there to just clean up with these things. Come on, all he's got is a little photo of a curled up belt, please. stuck in with 50 other photos of other products. Oh, and for your information, they sell them for $40 plus shipping and handling. I don't know what that is. And I know for a fact, you can make a deal with the guys that make them and get them for under $10 a piece. Huge profit margin there. Even considering the shipping costs back to the States, that is if you send a bunch of them back, like 100 in a box. If you break it down, it probably won't cost more than $2 a piece to ship them back to the States. Again, a huge profit margin if you're selling them for 40. You could probably clean up at 30 or even $25 a piece. But even at $40, they're worth every penny because they're built so well and practically indestructible. Now, what you really should do is get some boots on the ground and go to Atitlan yourself and buy up a bunch of them just for yourself and your family. Great Christmas presents at, you know, $15 a piece. That's what they sell them for retail. Though initially, they'll ask 20 or 25. Remember, it's a bargaining culture and you always throw a counter offer at them. I'd say $10 to start it off. Then there'll be a little back and forth and you'll get it for 15. Anyway, some food for thought. Just saying. All right, let's get to that first email. Well, it'll be the second, right? That was part of an email from Ruth. And now an email from Rod with some lessons here. He says, "Hey, Johnny, a while back you helped me find a lawyer for an import-export business, and the business ended up being a scam. You asked me to tell you the story, which your listeners might enjoy, so here it is. By the way, I currently live in China, and one thing Chinese people love is chicken feet. I love them too. One amazing business is to bring frozen chicken feet as an importer. But there's a big catch. The Chinese government has a group of approved meat producers all over the world." All right, me Johnny here. Rod, I hate to break this to you, but I don't really think chicken feet can be technically classified as a meat product or even classified as human food. Number one, last I heard, they have no meat on them. Number two, if you look at them, you'll see they're kind of covered with reptilian scales attached to a couple of sharp claws. It's that dinosaur family tree bird link, you know? You can check with Darwin on that one. And Rod, no offense, but I can't even stand looking at chicken feet, even when they're alive and kicking in vivo. I mean, look what chickens do with them. They trot through dirt and mud, scratching for grubs, walking around in their own poop. Sorry, Rod, chicken feet? No thanks. However, being that there are over 50 billion with a B chickens killed every year, that means there's 100 billion chicken feet floating around somewhere. That works out to 17 chicken feet per person per year. Rod, you can have mine. Of course, I know it's an acquired taste. A desperate act, if you ask me. The thing is, I've been invited to many a Latin American get-together. When, yuck, chicken feet were on the menu, and when they served them up, around the table comes the awful sound of the munching and crunching of chicken feet. And that, Rod, my friend, is the Latin American version of the Chinese water torture. Gives me the willies. Oh, and I know I mentioned this a long time ago, but it bears repeating. In every second, third, and fourth world country, nothing on an animal goes to waste. I realized just about 35 years ago, a long time ago, when I first started traveling around the world, other cultures will eat what the average gringo will throw into the trash or give to the cat. Hey, don't get me wrong. Every part of an animal is nutritious, right? It's just what we're accustomed to. And I guess, by that measure, Americans are really spoiled. Pretty much food snobs. In fact, I don't know a single first world American gringo expat who will eat the cartilage from a chicken, whereas Latinos will routinely do it. Hey, it's not pretty, but all my Latina girlfriends have done it, and I try to block it out. Hey, I know cartilage or what's in cartilage. It's really good for you, and Americans do eat it a lot in other forms, but they would never eat it right off the cow or chicken. It has to be disguised, therefore highly processed. By the way, if you ask an American on the street how he likes his cartilage, he'll say, "Get out of here, I don't eat cartilage." That's gross. You're nuts, and he'll probably squint and make an awful face, though he might say, "Maybe I will on a dare. What'll you pay me?" Hey, everything has its price, you know. But when you tell an American, millions of Americans eat cartilage products every single day and like it a lot. Well, people don't want to believe that. They think you're having them on until you ask them if they've had any Jell-O lately. You know, Jell-O, J-E-L-L-O. By the way, do you remember who was the spokesperson for Jell-O for years and years? Bill Cosby. Hey, 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 Fat Albert. Funny thing too, today, Fat Albert wouldn't be fat, he'd be normal. And they wouldn't make him fatter to fit the description because that'd be fat shaming, right? But I digress. Man, did I digress. Anyway, the main ingredient in Jell-O, look on the box, is processed cartilage from guess where? Yeah, right. You're all a bunch of chicken feet eaters too and you didn't even know it. But not for me. It was a lucky break. I never liked Jell-O. By the way, processed cartilage is in a lot of other things too. But like a lot of you guys and gals out there, I'd rather not know about it. But back to Rod's email. By the way, Rod, if you invite me out to dinner and you order chicken feet, call me a jerk, call me a dickhead, but I don't think we can be friends. All right, carrying on, Rod says, in China, one of the amazing businesses is to bring frozen chicken feet as an importer. But there's that big catch. The Chinese government has a group of approved meat producers all over the world. And if your meat product does not come from one of these producers, you can't bring it into China, period. So, he says, I looked at the China list of approved producers of chicken feet, and several companies popped up in South America, in Brazil, Argentina, and Chile. So I set out to contact these people. He says, I'm in Canada now, but my family originally comes from Venezuela, and we are experienced Sephardic Jew business people. So I did not believe anything I was being told by the companies. I decided to hire a lawyer and check out the bank accounts, addresses, names, websites, and the like from these approved South American chicken feet producers. You know, Rod, just talking about this chicken feet thing is getting me nervous. Maybe there's a scientific term for it. Chicken feetophobia. Could be. Sounds right. But I ain't the only one. Oh, and remind me to tell you about the time on an island in the Caribbean known as Montserrat, a neighbor family invited me over and served me up a bowl of goat's eye soup. I sat there for 10 minutes trying to act calm with that thing staring up at me. And finally, when no one was looking, I took my spoon, scooped it out, and dropped it under the table, and the dog snapped it right up. So, the question of the day is, if it's a life and death situation and you had to choose between the goat's eyes and the chicken feet, which would it be? Some might say it depends if there's ketchup or mayonnaise on the table. Yep, that's right. As gross as it sounds, I've seen people dip their chicken feet in mayonnaise. All right, leaving you with that lovely thought. So Rod decided to hire a lawyer to check out the bank accounts, addresses, names, websites, and the like of the companies that are approved in South America. He says in every single case, the websites, bank accounts, and everything else turned out to be fake. Even though he says the websites were extremely professional and the main pages and the fronts were very legit looking. Even the bank accounts had names very similar to legit banks. Then he says, though finally I found one real company, but they were very dismissive of me, not at all interested in my little business idea. Anyway, just to let you and your listeners know how it went, that's what happened to me, and I speak fluent Spanish. All right, thanks for that, Rod. All good stuff. Sorry that the chicken feet stars did not align for you, but your story does point out one very important thing. The idea that you really need to get a lawyer, a good lawyer, especially when dipping your feet into the Latin American business world. The key is, of course, to get a lawyer that won't rip you off, that won't see you as a gringo with a dollar sign on your head. In other words, you don't want to get a lawyer unless you've checked out his past and he comes recommended by other long-term gringos and expats. Of course, just a warning if you end up on the gringo tourist trail. Most all lawyers you find, even the good ones, the ones that'll help you, the ones that are 100% legit, they too see that dollar sign on your head. How can they not? They all have gringo and expat clients who've been ripped off left and right. They know what trusting innocent naive rubes and hayseeds a lot of us are. Especially when we first get down, we fall into all kinds of traps. And I'm talking mostly on the gringo tourist trail now, because when you're off the trail, there are so few of us around, they don't have much experience with us. We're still just novelties to them. So when you land in a country that's well off the gringo tourist trail, or maybe sprinkled with a couple of gringos here and there, but not enough to cause any real impact. When we're a rarity, we've got that very powerful gringo advantage going for us. By the way, you know, if you come down to my February 2022 Expat Insider Seminar, which kicks off on Friday, February 18th, 2012, you'll find one of the best things about the whole experience is that our seminar lawyer, who is a longtime personal friend of mine, will be hanging with us 24/7. He's with us all the time. You know what that means, don't you? You'll have a whole week to get sick of him. No, just kidding. He's a real fun, likable, happy guy, and well-connected. But think about it. If you're anywhere along on your plan B, you're going to want legal advice about a lot of things, about immigration, about rental contracts, bank accounts, business stuff, hiring and firing people. Maybe you want to build a house. You'll need a contractor. You have to get a lawyer involved in that, you know, to check the guy out, make sure everything's legit. In fact, there's lots of gringos and expats who build houses or other projects. They have their lawyers disperse the funds to the contractor. Then you know things are on the up and up. You're not going to get screwed. The point is, when you come down, even if you're just thinking about coming down, you're going to have a lot of legal questions over time. What are you going to do? Plug in Find a Latin Lawyer into your web browser search box every time you have a legal question? Good luck with that. There's no Latin version of Ask Jeeves. Remember that? You see where I'm coming from, right? But think of it. If you come down to the seminar, you get a whole week with a very experienced, 100% bilingual Latin lawyer. It's your chance to pepper him with questions. And remember, he's an off-the-gringo-tourist-trail lawyer. Sure, he's got lots of gringo clients, but remember, we're all on the same page. He knows exactly what we're looking for and what we want to get out of life. For one thing, like most of us, he's an anti-government guy. You might not think so because he did run for mayor in his county but lost. But that's because he was too libertarian for him. And the voters in the district didn't know what a libertarian was. Anyway, he hates big government. He owns a small coffee plantation. He's a gun owner. And, miracle of miracles, he takes Bitcoin and crypto. He's been in the crypto thing for as long as I have, since about 2012. And man, is he well connected. You really need a lawyer who's connected. That way, if you, I'm talking about expats, get involved in anything that's not quite black and white legally, for example, property or land disputes, if you get picked up for a DUI or you run over a motorcycle or a pedestrian, or maybe you get caught with an illegal substance, maybe your immigration paperwork's expired or not right. In all the countless gray area cases, it's best to have a lawyer who's well connected. You know that saying, laws are meant to be broken? Which now, anyway, is 100% true up in the States. You know, there are laws for the common people like you and me, and another much more lenient set of laws for connected people like bureaucrats and politicians. Anyway, here in Latin America, a lawyer who's connected can, when necessary, bend a law to its breaking point with just a few phone calls. So keep that in mind. It's another great reason to come down to the seminar. Not just for the boots on the ground and the networking, but to find and hang with the kind of lawyer that every gringo and expat wants to hire but can rarely find on their own. I know it took me 3 or 4 false starts with other lawyers until I found him. And that was only after I'd been down in Latin America at least 5 years or so. That said, if you want to get on a super fast-track Plan B exit strategy, you can come down to my February 2022 seminar and drink from the fire hose. That's what people say, you know, when they come down and go through it. It's like an expat Plan B boot camp. For sign-up details and all the info, just go to expatplanb.com and click on the seminar link. That's expatplanb, all one word, .com. All right, now an email from one of our previous Expat Insider Seminar attendees. She will be a repeat offender since she's coming to the February seminar, too. By the way, right after the last seminar she attended, she decided to stay down in Guatemala and the immediate vicinity for some months, getting some real quality boots on the ground. By now, she knows quite a bit about the territory. She was in the midst of the COVID-iot thing, too, so she's got tales to tell. If you're down for the seminar, I'm sure she'll fill us in on many of her stories. Now, I'm bringing this up for more reasons than one. Primarily, as an example for you lady expat gonna-be and wannabes out there, who might be hesitant to come down, even if you're coming down with your better half. Now, imagine if you're on your own, you're single, and don't have anyone to come down with. For some, it just doesn't feel right. Well, think about this. Miss C, who wrote this email, is a single, good-looking, blonde, North American woman who came down to the seminar alone, then stayed on for some months in Latin America, exploring, meeting people, and getting some really quality boots on the ground. Well, she pulled it off and is enjoying every minute of it. By the way, lots of ladies have come down to my seminar on their own. Any lady, single or not, who's fed up with the States can do it too. Miss C is just one good example. Oh, and she's a tall blonde too, so when she's traveling alone through Latin America, she sticks out. So she gets a bit of extra attention above and beyond the gringo advantage. In short, macho Latin guys, who are almost always short, by the way. In short, they're always hitting on her. So she's got that to deal with too. Anyway, she starts her email by saying, "Johnny, I came up to Seattle for my brother's funeral. Sad, but kind of a blessing, he had Down syndrome. He made it to 59, which is really long-lived for Downs. It's weird. My dad died 2 years ago, my mom last Christmas, and now my brother. They were always a kind of a core trio in the family, and so many of my decisions in life have been based on whether they needed help or were okay or not. But first, I want to tell you how effed up Seattle, Washington is. I drove up for the funeral, and the King County mandate there is that businesses must ask for proof of vax status just to enter. But it gets worse, even crazy. I can stay at the hotel, but not go to the bar. I can buy a $25 latte from Starbucks, but not sit or stay there. Now, to be clear, Johnny, I wouldn't spend $25 at Starbucks. Oh, and you can buy restaurant food, but you gotta go out, unless you've got the seal of approval. Are you ready for this one, Johnny? Since I was up here in Seattle, I scheduled an annual doctor's appointment with someone I've been seeing for 30 years. As a medical courtesy and to give the office an option to refuse me as a patient, after all, this is Seattle, I told them at the time of making my appointment that I'm not vaxxed, but I had COVID and recovered recently. Now get this, when my doctor came into the room, she told me her entire goal of this appointment is to get me vaxxed. Can you believe that? No, good morning, how are you? Nice to see you, Miss C. Just opens the door, Well, I'm sitting naked, well, in a gown, not so naked, I guess, but I wasn't in my power suit either. I was about to spread them to the world, in the stirrups, you know? The stuff us ladies have to go through in those routine checkups. That's when she said, quote, "My entire goal today is to get you vaxxed." Needless to say, Johnny, our goals did not coincide. Now, I kind of knew she was going to push that agenda, but at least I thought she should close the damn door. Though I did say I'm willing to listen and consider, but I'm not getting vaxxed today. Her entire demeanor then changed. She started talking about how they're trying to end the pandemic, blah, 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 you know, the soliloquy. And suddenly, I was the problem. Me, who often spends days alone in a cabin working online or sitting outside alone having a beer in the Seattle rain. Meanwhile, in places like Starbucks, the insides are packed with card-carrying, vaxxed, maskless patrons steaming up the windows. Do you get it? Suddenly it's me. I'm the reason the pandemic isn't over, not them. Then she asked me what my reservations were for getting the vax, as if there's only one particular reason for not getting jabbed. Well, I told her, this appointment is 30 minutes long and we don't have the time to address all of those reservations. Anyway, since I don't have insurance and I'm paying out of pocket, I told her to give me a few extra lab tests. That is above the normal poke and prod business. So I said, please give me a CBC, that's complete blood count test, a thyroid test, and a COVID antibody test. She scoffed and said, I don't do the antibody test. Then I reminded her that last January in 2021, almost a year ago when I last saw her, before max vaccinations, she offered me a COVID test because I told her I thought I already had it before it all hit the fan. Back then, she did offer the test. As part of a study, she said, my test came back negative for antibodies. All that backtracking I could handle, but her single-mindedness is what was creeping me out. Because normally she would nag me about mammography or colonoscopies or my occasional nicotine habit. This time, no diet or sleep questions, not even any questions about long-term lingering COVIDiot symptoms, since I did have it and recovered. Nope, none of that. Once she realized I was adamant about not getting vaxxed today, she went into robot mode. Nothing else mattered. I get it. I'm not a doctor, but she knew my dad was a pathologist. I've cut up many body parts in a lab where I worked for 18 years and know how to read a lab report. I'm not a doc, but I'm not the average patient coming in who blindly follows their advice either. I can read and comprehend lab articles and results, check medical dictionaries, white paper studies and articles, etc. I knew all about and researched my own past ailments too. I knew my medical problems and how I got them. So I'm not your average patient who worships at the throne of the medical establishment. Anyway, she gave me an eye roll when I said I was getting an antibody test for my own private study, since nobody knows how long immunity lasts. So I was thinking when I walked in, why not let her give me an antibody test and see if I still have antibodies after having recovered from COVID 7 months ago? Why not? I checked after 4 months and I still had measurable antibody resistance. So I was only asking for a simple thing, draw some blood and let's find out. But no, in the end, I was stunned at her complete lack of intellectual and medical curiosity and pissed off at myself for naively believing she would listen. Anyway, in the end, Johnny, Seattle has lost its effing mind in more ways than one. As for now, I'm off back to Arizona and then on a plane to Guatemala before Christmas, I hope. Oh, and about the loonies in Seattle. In the interest of keeping people safe, people in Seattle are still wearing masks while driving alone in cars, as they cut me off in traffic doing 70 in a 50 zone. I just want to scream. I know it won't help things, but there is something to be said for primal scream therapy. Remember that? So I guess I'll scream, tranquilo, which means calm down or cool off in Spanish. So anyway, Johnny, thanks for the safe space you gave me to rant. Signed, Miss C. Well, Miss C, I guess you gave us reason 2,656 through 72, why it's really imperative to get that Plan B underway and get the hell out of Dodge. Oh, and by the way, in a previous email, let me quote Miss C. She says, Johnny, Antigua, Guatemala was the perfect soft landing zone for my first time in Latin America. Those are her words. And remember, again, she's a single lady coming down all by herself. She said Antigua, Guatemala, and that's one of the stops on our seminar agenda. So you too can see why it is the perfect soft landing spot. All right, we're getting close to the end of the show now, but one more thing. You know, lots of times gringos and expats, especially those whose Spanish really sucks, they ask me to help them out. For example, take them to a doctor, a clinic, a pharmacy, or check them into a hospital. Sometimes I get sucked into that, you know. That'll happen to you if you're down here and know enough Spanish to get by. So sometimes when you're around a lot of gringos and expats, it's a disadvantage to let them know that you speak Spanish. because, hey, then you're going to be the go-to guy for all the problems they might have and can't resolve with what they call down here kitchen or bathroom Spanish. By the way, if you're off the gringo tourist trail and your Spanish really sucks and you have to go to a pharmacy, here's a tip. This will work at hardware stores too. Take a picture of the drug or medicine or lotion or ointment, or if you're in a hardware store, the brackets, screws, light bulbs, whatever. Pull up a photo of what you're looking for or want to buy. And when you walk up to the counter, just hand them your phone and say, este, por favor. It means this, please, in English. Show them a picture, and in the case, the drug you want is in English. Don't worry. All the workers in the pharmacy seem to be able to get on a computer. Just plug in that English word, and the Spanish name for it will come up. Oh, and do say generico if you want to get the absolute best price. Generico or generica means generic. Because, you know, even here in Latin America, where tons and tons of generics are made, they're not always going to give you the generic when you walk into the drugstore. You have to ask them for it. As you know, the proprietary brand of things could cost three or four times as much. For example, occasionally I take Imitrix. That's the brand name for a migraine medicine known as sumatriptan. That's the generic name. Now, if I ask for Imitrix, they probably have it on hand. It's the proprietary brand they've imported from Germany or the UK, wherever. And it's going to be something like 10 bucks a pill. But if you say generico, that's sumatriptan. And that runs around 2 bucks a pill. Very same drug. Big price difference. And please, don't tell me proprietary and brand names work better. That's big pharma and doctor propaganda. Because, you know, doctors get all kinds of perks and rewards for prescribing proprietary brand name drugs. Why do you think they have so many drug reps buzzing around their offices all the time? Now, I started this last bit by talking about how gringos who know Spanish end up doing lots of favors for gringos who don't. Well, just yesterday, I took a guy to a clinic to get a tomograph. He needed an abdominal and pelvic CAT scan. Now, he didn't have one of those great private insurance plans because he's over 64, which is kind of the general age limit for getting on a private insurance plan. Though there are a select few others that will take you when you're older. Anyway, he got the scan, and of course, it comes with a doctor analysis of what they see. In Spanish, of course, and that's part of the reason I helped him. Anyway, the bill, 90 bucks. That was without insurance, and if he'd had insurance, the cashier told me he'd only have paid $15. Well, I looked up that exact tomographic procedure in the States, and the average is 1,200 bucks. Using the very same machine. Yep, it was a new General Electric model. I checked it out. GE Medical Division, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, says it right on the tag. Same machine, less than a tenth of the price. I rest my case.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos. No Spanish language.